Welcome back to Karen About Your Health on HealthBeatRadio.com, part of the Lucy Network. I'm Karen Hummel, your host, and I have Rick Olderman. Is it Olderman or Alderman?
Olderman.
I have Rick Olderman with me on the line. He's a physical therapist, Pilates instructor, personal trainer, and has written a series of books to deal with chronic pain. And I'm really excited to have you on today. I've dealt with chronic pain for a number of years stemming from an accident, so I can't wait to hear what you have to say. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, why do you think most people have chronic pain?
Well, I primarily deal with the musculoskeletal system. And so the way I see things and the way they kind of play out in my practice is that, you know, we have anatomical problems such as tight or weak muscles that then reinforce how our joints move and how we move. And so that creates movement habits that are damaging to us. And then those movement habits then reinforce those anatomical changes such as the tight or weak muscles. So this creates kind of a cycle of pain. And so what my books do and what I do in my practice is I address both the anatomical portion of it and also the movement habit portion of it so that we break the cycle at both ends of it rather than just at one or the other. If you just break it at one or the other, then typically the pain will return again and you have to continue with visits forever. However, if you address the movement habits and the anatomical problems, usually pain will stay away for good.
Oh, that's interesting. So I guess most of us are kind of doing things wrong, like maybe how we walk or how we sit, or, I mean, what do you mean by anatomical?
Well, for instance, with back pain, a case in point, one of the biggest problems with back pain for most people is that their spine has too much extension or too much arch in the lower spine. So that lordotic curve that you see on pictures a lot. And what happens is that increased arch increases compression between the vertebrae. Well, the reason that the arch is happening is because it's responding to what's happening in the pelvis, and because the pelvis is the foundation of spinal mechanics. So there are muscles that attach to the front of our pelvis that are pulling the pelvis forward into what's called an anterior tilt. And then what happens is the spine has to compensate by arching back. So that's the anatomical portion of it, is that we have tight muscles in the front of our pelvis that are pulling it forward into this tilt, which then causes the spine to arch in response, and that's what causes pain. The movement habit part of that is that usually the reason that these muscles become tight is that we stand with locked knees. And so if we stand with locked knees, for instance, our knees are nice and straight or even hyperextended in a lot of people, it causes these muscles to become tight, which then causes the back to hurt, which then causes us to stand with locked knees again because we want to unload the muscles that are tight. So it creates this cycle of pain. And so two of the things that I do is I teach people, A, to stretch, in this case, these muscles in the front of the pelvis, and then B, we teach them the things that they're doing throughout the day, such as standing with locked knees or poor sitting habits that may be contributing to this as well, and we teach them to change those habits. And when they do both, the chronic pain disappears.
That's pretty great. Instead of going in for medications and...
Exactly. The thing is that correcting chronic pain is actually a very simple process because our body wants to be healed. Our body wants to be healthy. Pain is not a natural state of our body. And as long as people remember that, don't give up trying to find those answers, they'll find those answers. And I feel I have, in my books, a lot of those answers for people from a musculoskeletal standpoint.
Now, what if, I know we had the chance to talk before the interview about that I was in an accident and I'm fused from the chest down, and so I have chronic pain for a different reason. Is there things you can do with someone that, you know, may have been through an accident or has severe scoliosis or some other surgery or something?
Yeah. The treatment that I use for people who have been in an accident is no different than the treatment I use for people who just developed chronic pain for whatever reason. So what I believe is happening is that our bodies, as we grow, develop these poor movement habits, such as we start understanding with locked knees or what have you, in the case of back pain again. And so we have, our body is kind of set up with this vulnerability that we've created for it. Even though we don't have pain there yet, it's vulnerable to that issue. So then we introduce something like an automobile accident or a fall or something like that, something traumatic, which exposes the vulnerability that's been created prior to the accident. And so that's why a lot of chronic pain when you're in an accident isn't resolved, is because most of the focus is just on the tissues. Let's say you have a bulging disc or a degenerative disc disease. Most of the focus is just on the tissues that were damaged in the accident. However, no one's really taking the time to look at the system that set up the vulnerability in the first place. And once you correct the system of problems, then you can correct the chronic pain.
That's interesting. I've never heard anyone say that before, and it makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah. Well, I see it. It works. I see it, you know, every day. And, you know, I see people with a lot of difficult chronic pain issues, usually back, neck, you know, shoulder, things like that. And almost all of them respond very quickly to treatment because we're addressing, again, the things that are hurting them, the tight or weak muscles, as well as the habits that they're doing unconsciously that are contributing to these tight or weak muscles. And once again, I just feel, you know, and it can be so simple, and that's why I feel like I can write these books and put this information in here, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist. I'm not a rocket scientist. I just feel that, you know, I want people, you know, to be able to be helped without seeing me directly. They should be able to read a book and get the information and help themselves. And so I have really simple tests in my book to teach you which type of back pain. There are three different roots of back pain. So I teach you which root you have and then the exercises to fix that.
That's great. What interested you in chronic pain?
Well, the funny thing is, my first job as a physical therapist, I worked in a clinic, and I mostly saw, status post surgeries, you know, rotator cuff tears and ACL repairs and things like that. And I saw a few people with chronic pain issues, and I didn't really pay much attention to the chronic pain issue because I was just out of PT school. I wasn't thinking, let's just say. And then I left that clinic and I moved to Denver, and I started working as a personal trainer because I felt that the physical therapy I was doing in that clinic was only a small part of who I was. And when I started working as a personal trainer in a health club, and this health club did not have a physical therapy clinic attached to it, I started seeing lots and lots of people with neck pain, back pain, hip pain, and so forth. I mean, just about everyone in that club had an issue. So I quickly became the busiest trainer/therapist there at the club while I was there. And that's when I really started thinking and looking at how people were moving and how they were exercising and the anatomical problems I was seeing. And so my interest started to develop more because it kind of ventured into sports performance as well as, chronic pain. And so, you know, they all mirror each other. And so, and then when I left that clinic, I just started focusing more on chronic pain. And I had a couple of epiphanies. And then I really felt like I was putting things together. And so after practicing these ideas for a few years, I decided to write books because I felt that it was becoming so simple to fix chronic pain. I really felt that just about anyone could fix it.
That's great, because I know when you're living with chronic pain, and I've talked to other people living with chronic pain, it's like you're trying everything and you just want out of the situation. You're in jail, basically. Your body's in jail, so it's so neat that you're kind of simplifying some things for people. What about... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, well, it's funny that you say that because, you know, the mental aspect of fixing your chronic pain is huge. And the first chapter in all my books is devoted to the mental aspects of fixing your pain, wrapping your head around what you need to do to fix your pain. And you're absolutely right, Karen. I mean, the more that you're in pain, the more doubt you have that you're going to be able to get out of it. I wrote a blog about that because it was called Chronic Pain and Chronic Doubt. Because, you know, you have to wrap your head around this. And so that's what I've tried to help people do in my books from the first chapter, from a mental aspect. And then in the second chapter is all about the mechanics of things, so they can clearly see what is happening to the body, why it's happening, and what they need to do to fix it. So you're absolutely right. You start to wonder if you'll ever get better, and I don't blame people, because they've been to so many practitioners and they're not getting help.
That's so true. That's great you addressed the mental issue, because people try to make you feel like you're crazy too when you're in pain. I remember people, if you just meditate, if you just do this, the pain will go away. No, it's still there. So I'm so glad you addressed that in your books.
Well, it's a huge part of getting better.
Yes, absolutely. Now, what about exercise? I've been put into exercise programs because I'm in pain, and I've been pulled out of exercise programs because I'm in pain by different practitioners. What do you suggest?
Well, first of all, you have to understand the body that you're trying to exercise. And so exercise can be good for your back and can be bad for your back or neck or whatever it is, but you have to understand why you're having pain first. And if you don't understand those things, just starting an exercise program will probably make it worse. So, for instance, let's go back to our back pain example. You have too much arching in your low back that's causing your back pain. So during an exercise program, if you're doing exercises that promote arching in your low back, such as overhead shoulder presses, which most people arch their back to do, you will be propagating the issue. Or if you're doing squatting, where you stick your rear end back quite a bit and extend your spine when you have a barbell on your shoulders, then you're going to be contributing to your spinal extension issue. So it's a very good question, and it doesn't have an easy answer, only because it depends on what type of back pain you have, what the root cause is. And, for instance, a really easy test. I mean, here's a really easy test your listeners can do right now. If they lay on the floor on their backs and they have their legs stretched out straight on the floor, all right, and if they lay there and assess whether their back pain hurts, all right, and then all they have to do is bend their knees so their feet are resting near their rear end, all right, so the feet are still resting on the floor but the knees are bent, which position does your back feel better in? Most people will say that they feel so much better with their knees bent. And the reason is because it's flattening the spine. It's taking the arch out of the spine. So all you have to do is reproduce that when you're exercising. Don't allow that spine to arch, and your back will feel so much better while you're exercising.
That is a great tip. That's awesome. You had me thinking of my own workouts at the gym, because I'm a trainer too, and I had never really thought of it from that perspective. So that's great advice for people.
Yeah, thank you. And, next year I'm developing a seminar series for personal trainers, Pilates instructors, yoga instructors, to teach them these mechanics. Because I feel that, you know, most of the people that come see me, I'm like the 20th person they've seen. And most of the people have usually gone to a Pilates instructor or personal trainer or yoga instructor first before they've come to see me to see what they can help them with. And so if I teach these fitness professionals first how to do this, then they'll be able to help these people, and they won't have to, you know, go through another 20 practitioners and then see me.
That's great, especially with all the trainers out there. I talk a lot on my show about really looking into your trainer, making sure they have a degree in some sort of exercise science, kines, physical therapy, something, you know. And so there's so many two-day trainers out there that who knows what they're doing with their clients, and then they have clients with chronic back pain. It could be causing more harm than good out there.
Yes, that's right. And the problem is, and I don't think it's so much the trainer's fault, but, you know, the more I've researched these books and look at the information online, and I see what's written in magazines, and I see what's written online by people talking about back pain, it's the same information, and I don't believe it's very accurate. And so the trainers are picking up this information, thinking that it's accurate, and they don't know any better, and the person who's written the information doesn't know any better, because no one truly understands the anatomical aspect of chronic pain or the movement-based aspect of chronic pain. And so that's what I hope I can do for the fitness field, and by extension, the people who use trainers and Pilates instructors and yoga instructors as clients.
That'll be great. You should create your own certification for it.
Well, I thought about that, but you know, there's so many certifications out there.
That's true.
Most people in the fitness field are just burned out on certifications. So I just want to give them the information and you know, be there for them and help them with their clients and hopefully, you know, change how they practice and how they think about fitness.
Good for you. I know I'm burned out. Like $300 for every certification a year, it really starts adding up.
Yeah, it's, and I just don't want to go down that road. I mean, it would be, I mean, I've gotten that, you know, recommendation by a lot of people, and I just don't want to be another certifying agency. I just want to help trainers train better.
That's great. Now, moving on, away from back pain, even though it's one of my favorite subjects, a lot of people have tennis elbow, neck pain, et cetera, from working at a computer all day. Is there something they can do to help themselves?
Definitely. The thing you have to know about neck pain versus back pain is the system creating neck pain is completely different than the system creating back pain. The only common denominator, really, is the fact that it involves the spine. But if you look at a skeleton, you'll notice that the arms of people and their shoulders are not connected to the body via a joint like the spine is or the pelvis. When we look at our knees, you know, we have a femur that's stacked on top of the tibia, then we have our pelvis that's stacked on top of the femur, and then each vertebrae is stacked on top of each other. And this joint compression is what gives our joint stability. However, the shoulders are not the same. They are a floating system on the body. And the shoulders, there are two very important muscles in the, that attach the shoulder blade to the base of the skull and the neck. And what I find with 99% of the people who see me for chronic neck pain or headaches is that it's their shoulder system that is injuring their neck. And so I treat the shoulder to fix the neck pain. And it's very, very effective. So the most common problem I see is that the shoulder blades are sitting too low. And so there's one particular muscle, the levator scapula, and anyone who's been to a massage therapist will recognize that name. It has tons of trigger points in it. And the other one is the trapezius, and that attaches to the base of the skull. Well, those muscles develop a lot of trigger points in them because the shoulder blade is sitting too low on the trunk, and therefore stressing these muscles. Well, those muscles then transmit that stress to the cervical vertebrae and the base of the skull, causing neck pain and headaches. So fixing the shoulder blade positioning will be crucial to fixing the chronic neck pain and headaches. And one thing that you can do at work, say, for instance, is if you have, you know, shoulder blades that are seen too low, you can move the arms up on your chair so that your arms are resting a half inch or even an inch higher than they normally would. What this does is it pushes the shoulder blades up and unloads those muscles, irritating your neck and base of the skull.
Wow, I just did that as you were talking. I just kind of raised my arms up to pretend I was sitting on a chair with those arms to put up, and it did. It automatically took that pressure off my shoulders.
Yes, exactly, and that's because of this crucial connection between the shoulder blade and the neck and the skull, and no one is writing about this or seems to know about it, and this was one of my epiphanies that I had that I told you about earlier. I was working with a woman who had migraine headaches for 20 years, and she had had two automobile accidents back-to-back 20 years ago and had been left with neck pain and headaches, and I was treating her neck, and everything was going fine for about three visits. And then I started messing with her shoulder, and the next day she had terrible migraines that she hadn't had in years, and I felt awful, and I racked my brain trying to figure out what was it that triggered that migraine. And then I realized that it wasn't her neck that was injured. It was her shoulder. And when I treated her shoulder, her neck pain and headaches went away immediately because we relieved the stress that was causing the pain. And that's the way the body heals. When you do the right thing for the body, the pain is eliminated almost immediately because it's the body's natural state.
That's amazing. Hey, Rick, do you have a few more moments? I have to go to a break, but do you have a few more moments to come back?
Oh, yeah.
Bye. Great. Sure. Thank you. You're listening to Karen About Your Health on HealthBeatRadio.com. We'll be back after the break.